This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidin Mursaleen. Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. Rabbana laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhik wa li azimi sultanik. Subhanaka la nuhsi thanaan alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Imam Zaid Shakir coming to you from the premises of beautiful Zaytuna College, your Muslim college, praying that all of you are preparing to have a wonderful month of Ramadan. Prepare now, fast voluntarily, start to spend, start to engage the Quran. Don't wait till Ramadan, get a running start. As one of our scholars mentioned, Abu Bakr al-Warraq al-Balkhi, he said, may Allah have mercy on him, Rajab Shahr Zar. Rajab is the time to plant the seeds. Wa Sha'ban Saqiy Zar'i. Wa Sha'ban is the month for irrigating and cultivating and nurturing the crop. Wa Ramadan Shahru Hasad Zar'i. Ramadan is the time to harvest the crop. And so don't wait for Ramadan to plant, brothers and sisters. Start planting now. Start irrigating and weeding and cultivating now. And in Ramadan, you have an abundant harvest of reward. Meaning, start reading the Quran now. If you haven't been reading it throughout the year regularly, start that practice now. Start praying your extra prayers now. If you've not in the habit of regularly praying your Qiyam al-Layl or your Tahajjud, start now, brothers and sisters. Start being charitable now. And then when Ramadan comes, you'll enter the month with much, much spiritual momentum, inshallah ta'ala. Today we'd like to talk about zakat. A lot of people like to spend their zakat in the month of Ramadan. They should be wary, though, if they're possessing something. And what we'll talk about, the hawl, the lunar year passes over it, that they might, by spending in Ramadan, be paying their zakat early. So they should you should consult your local imams and scholars concerning the rulings associated with paying your zakat early before the actual lunar year passes over that wealth that the zakat is due on. Zakat in the Arabic language means to grow or to increase, literally. Zakat shay'u hay zada wa nama. That something experienced zakat, that is to say it increased and it grew. Zada wa nama. And zakat, by paying zakat, our wealth grows. And our wealth is increased. It increases for us in tangible and intangible ways. We might have less, but there's more barakah in what remains. And it is an increase for those who receive the zakat. They had less than what they will have after they receive the zakat. It also means tahara. It also means purity. And so zakat purifies our wealth. It purifies it by bringing it into accordance with those provision and strictures that are pleasing to our Lord. It purifies our wealth by reminding us, associated with the first point, that the wealth we give in zakat is not in reality our wealth. The original amount is the wealth of our Lord. Our Lord tells us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty God tells us, وَآتُوهُمْ مِمَّا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي آتَاكُمْ. Give them from the wealth of Almighty God that He has given to you. So in that sense, it's not ours. Once the lunar year, which we mentioned, passes over it, and its value is above the designated amount, and we'll come back to these particular issues, it's no longer our wealth. It's the wealth of those who are due to receive it, those eight categories of recipients who we will also come to, inshallah ta'ala. And if we retain it, we're actually guilty of theft. And so therefore, the person who doesn't pay their zakat is a sinner, athim. So zakat means to grow or increase. Zakat means to be pure. And so by paying our zakat, we purify it from the sin that accrues to one who holds on unlawfully to the wealth that is no longer theirs. In the language, technical terminology of the divine law, zakat means to spend, to convey a designated portion of wealth to specific categories of recipients when certain conditions prevail. So a designated portion of wealth, and again we'll talk about the specifics related to that, to specific categories of recipients, and we'll talk about those also, once certain conditions prevail over the wealth. So the conditions for the wisdom of the zakat, number one, is to circulate wealth in the society. So when we pay our zakat, a portion of the wealth that might be deprived from people in the eight categories we'll mention, but generally right now we'll say to the poor and needy people, that wealth is given and conveyed to them. And so the wealth doesn't remain the strict possession of those who are wealthy, but rather it's given to those who are less fortunate, and therefore wealth circulates in society. Another wisdom is it reminds us, as I mentioned earlier, that the wealth is not ours. The wealth is our Lord's. This is very, very important, because when a society reaches a point where people consider wealth to be theirs, then the selfishness on the one hand that prevails, and then the envy that selfishness generates become very destructive forces in society. And so one of the wisdom of zakat is to avoid the prevalence of those destructive forces. Another wisdom of the zakat, and we just alluded to it, is to undermine envy on the part of the poor. So the poor become susceptible to ideologies of usurpation when there's envy. And the envy is stimulated by a lack of sharing and a lack of caring and a lack of compassion. So zakat generates that spirit of sharing, that spirit of cooperation, that spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood, that we're connected together. And because we're connected together in one vast human family, we share that which nominally belongs to us. And by sharing it, we undermine those destructive forces that can actually tear apart a society and destabilize it to its root. So this is another wisdom of the zakat. And there are many, many others, but in the interest of time, we'll limit ourselves to those particular ones. The zakat is mandatory, obligatory. The zakat is obligatory, and here we'll mention the three basic conditions. For every Muslim, even a child or an insane person or a person who's an elderly person suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's or some other debilitating affliction that would impair their judgment so they couldn't undertake their affairs directly, in those cases, the zakat is responsible for the guardians of those children or those insane people, the elderly people who've lost full control of their mental facilities. The guardians must pay the zakat on their behalf. So Muslims, zakat is not due on non-Muslims. It is due on Muslims, the Muslim community. Secondly, that the wealth in the various categories, and for our purposes, we'll limit ourselves to gold, silver, cash, and cash investments, so stocks and bonds. So the nisab, or the limit, is approximately 87 grams of gold and 600 grams of silver. So if one has in their possession, in those various categories, gold, cash, silver, and also trade goods, so it's called urud at tijara, trade goods, that the value of which are above 87 grams of gold, 600 grams of silver, and you can find what that actual value is today because it changes on a daily basis. That is when zakat is due on those categories of property. One has to be above that in the categories of cash investments for a period of one lunar year. So you possess that, and throughout the year, it's above that threshold, 87 grams of gold, 600 grams of silver for an entire lunar year. In terms of trade goods, it might dip below because at the end of the lunar year, once one acquires those trade goods, the value might dip below, but it's assessed at the end of the year. So at the end of that lunar year, when one assesses the value of their trade goods, if it's above that limit, 87 grams of gold, approximately 600 grams of silver, approximately again, then the zakat is due on those trade goods. Another aspect of trade goods we can mention here is that if you acquired property for your personal use or for non-business usages and you subsequently use it for business, there's no zakat due on it. So for example, you buy an apartment and you intend to live in it, and then you live in it, but it's a second property. You stay in the city to avoid the commute during the days of your work, or you work in a distant place, you fly in, you stay in that apartment. Subsequently, your situation changes and you decide to rent that property out. That property was not originally acquired for trade, therefore there's no zakat due on that particular commodity. So those three conditions, when they prevail, the zakat is due. And it's obligatory, as we said. Obligatory nature of zakat. In 32 instances in the Quran, this phrase occurs. وَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةُ. Establish the prayer, and this is an order, it's an imperative verb. Establish regular prayer and pay the zakat. وَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةُ. So this is a commandment from Allah. It's unambiguous, and so it's an obligation. In the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are many hadiths that establish the obligatory nature of zakat. The most commonly referenced, Buniya al-Islam ala khams, shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan rasulullah wa iqam as-salati wa ita'i az-zakati wa hajj al-bayti wa sawm ramadan. That Islam is built on five pillars: to testify there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, to establish regular prayers, to pay the zakat, to fast the month of Ramadan, or to make the pilgrimage to the sacred house in Mecca, and to fast the month of Ramadan. So amongst these five pillars, وَيْتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ, paying the zakat. So zakat is mandatory. Now, who receives the zakat? The zakat is received by eight categories of recipients. إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَكِينِ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَالْغَارِمِينَ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ فَرِيدَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. So the zakat and the masadaqat, sadaqa here, charity, generally speaking, specifically in this ayah means zakat. And the masadaqatu, ay az-zakatu. Zakat is due to lil-fuqara, the poor. And there's a difference between some schools, between al-fuqara wal-masakeen. The fuqara is one who doesn't have, who has barely anything, has absolutely nothing, or very, very little. The masakeen, the poor, so the indigent, the poor. The poor are those who have something, but not enough to meet their needs. Say if they need five gold coins for their monthly expenses, and they only have three or four. So they're masakin. They need a little more. So the poor, those who need a lot of help, the miskin, those who need a little bit of help. So the indigent, or vice versa. So some schools say the poor are those who need a little help, and the miskin is those who need a lot of help. Those who work to collect and gather the zakat. Those who whose hearts are to be confirmed in Islam. So some of the schools in Islam, they say even those can be non-Muslim people. Those people who, if they had a favorable opinion of Islam, they would be amenable to entering into the fold of the believers. Those people who might be very antagonistic, but the charity and generosity they might receive from the Muslim community would alleviate their animosity towards the Muslim community and their possible violence towards the community. So various categories of those whose hearts are to be confirmed. And those who are, Allahumma salli Rasulillah, fi'r-riqab, for the liberation of slaves. And so the zakat money can be spent and given to those who are enslaved, those Muslims who are enslaved, and to buy them and purchase their freedom. وَالْغَارِمِينَ, those who are in debt. And there are different details related to that. So not anyone in debt. So an affluent person who's in debt because of extravagant consumerist spending, that person would not be eligible for zakat. But those who are legitimately in debt, and that debt can lead to either a personal danger, financial disaster, those are the people in debt who can be recipients of zakat. وَالْغَارِمِينَ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. In the Shafi'i school, which is my particular school, that category is limited to those who are actually defending the faith. So they're defending the faith against active aggression from transgressing parties. Those are the ones who are going forth fi sabilillah. Other schools, though, expand that category to include those who might be calling to Allah, those who might be working in various institutions that are serving the communities in ways that lead to the defense of the community. So in this day and time, there are organizations that are working to combat anti-Muslim hatred and bigotry. Those sort of organizations under this category, fi sabilillah, would be eligible for zakat according to the opinion of many contemporary scholars. So that's fi sabilillah. Webness sabil. Islam is the only religion that encourages spending both voluntarily and obligatorily for travelers and wayfarers. So those people are passing through our towns and communities, and they need assistance. They need assistance in our day and time in repairing their cars. They need assistance with food and lodging. They need assistance in various ways. Those people can be given zakat money, even if in the place of their destination they have adequate provisions. And so those are the eight categories of people who are eligible for and can be recipients of the zakat. So this is an incredible system. We mentioned, and we'll mention this finally, then we'll open up for questions and queries, inshallah ta'ala. And that is the types of wealth. So we mentioned two categories. There are others, but these two are most relevant for us. Very few of us have livestock. Very few of us are actively engaged in farming other than backyard gardening, where we have an excess of dried goods or goods that can be stored, such as dates or rice or grains, and therefore there will be zakat due on them. Very few of us will find a buried treasure, and there's zakat due on that buried treasure. So for that reason, as I mentioned, we'll confine ourselves to cash, gold, silver, cash, and cash investments. In that category, 2.5% is due on those holdings after one comes in possession of any of those. And a lunar year passes, and after a lunar year, they have consistently stayed above that minimum of 600 grams of silver, 87 grams of gold approximately, then the zakat is due, 2.5% of the value of that gold, cash, stocks, bonds, 2.5% is due on that. In terms of the trade goods, as we said, when one comes into possession of it, after the passing of a lunar year, even if, so if in the first category, if that value dips beyond the nisab, no zakat is due until it comes above that limit, that limit of value, and a lunar year passes, then it's due. Whereas trade goods, if trade goods dip beyond below the nisab, so they dip below the nisab, and then they come above the nisab again, the limit, that's irrelevant. We still go to the end of the year, and then we assess at the end of the year. And so at the end of the year, if those commodities are above the limit, which is called the nisab, then zakat is due on them. Whereas cash investments, if during that year, before we reach the end of the year, they dip below, then we start a new reckoning in terms of a new year passing when they come above it again, if they come above it. So those are some basic introductory remarks we can make about zakat. And we'll open up the floor now for questions. The virtual floor, of course, because none of you are sitting here around me. So we'll open up the virtual floor for any questions or comments that we might have from the audience.
Great. Thank you so much, Imam Zaid. Just going to jump in with some questions from Facebook and Instagram. We have several. Starting with Facebook, Ardi Tikuma says, I'm from Ghana in West Africa. My dad is a businessman. Before he pays his zakat, he goes around to take the worth of his stock goods and even the worth of his buildings before paying. Isn't zakat just supposed to be on your savings alone?
No, as we said, trade goods are zakatable commodities. And so your father is doing the right thing. If those properties were purchased for rental income, if his supplies were all purchased for business, at the end of the lunar year, after he's gained possession of those various commodities, he assesses, and if they're above that limit that we mentioned, approximately 87 grams of gold and 600 grams of silver, then zakat is due on them. So zakat is not just due on cash and cash investments. So your father's doing the right thing. Zakat going for orphans or disabled, those orphans and those disabled people being either poor or indigent, that zakat is their personal property. And so ideally, they have to be consulted before one can go forth with that project. In other words, once the zakat is due, it's no longer the possession, I see the question, I think we'll clarify, but once the zakat is due, it's no longer the possession of the giver. So the giver cannot say to the poor and the orphans, do this, build an orphanage with this money we're giving you. They could say, I'm going to go into business, which is one of the ideal wisdoms, I forgot to mention, of the zakat. The zakat is to expand the number of people who actually are paying zakat. So they should be given enough to enable them to be financially independent. So this is one of the goals of zakat. So those recipients who now own that money will have to be consulted. In terms of an organization, that organization ideally should consult the orphans or whoever is going to be the beneficiaries of that project as to get their permission to use this money, which is theirs, for that particular project. Wallahu alam. Allah knows best.
Jazakallah khair. Next question
Let me interject here, because I should have mentioned, in the Shafi'i school, my particular school, all eight of those categories are equal recipients of the wealth. In other words, if we have all eight of those categories, the poor, the indigent, those who work to collect it, those whose hearts to be strengthened and conformed, those slaves to be liberated, those who are in debt, those who are working in the way of the religion, and the travelers and wayfarers, the money, the available funds and resources are distributed equally across those eight. If there's only six, then it's distributed equally across the six. If there are two or three, it's distributed equally across the two or three. Other schools differ in that particular ruling. So I just want to interject that.
Jazakallah khair. Next question.
Another interjection. Zakat, as long as someone in those eight categories exists in the land where the zakat is being collected, it is forbidden in the Shafi'i school to send that money to another area, another land. It's forbidden. Other schools have different rulings with some laxitude, but generally speaking, zakat should be distributed amongst the eligible recipients in the land, the area, the region that it's been collected in. So we shouldn't immediately send our zakat overseas, for example, if we have connections to communities in other countries, before we make sure that all of the needy people in our area have received the zakat.
Barakallahu feek. Next question we have from Facebook is from Home Comfort, who asks, do I have to pay zakat for the period I did not know is not mandatory? For the period I did not know is not mandatory, or have I to pay from the moment I understood the importance of zakat?
No, once, as long as you possessed that commodity or that money or that zakatable wealth, you have to pay for the years that you might have missed. So if that was in your possession, once you learn of the ruling, you have to pay for the years that you missed, the 2.5%.
Barakallahu feek. So the next related question, which comes from Ruqayya on Instagram, why 2.5%? How did this number come about?
The number is established by textual evidence. So we're instructed by the Prophet ﷺ to pay a quarter of a tenth. So rubi ushr. So a quarter of the tenth is 2.5%. Or a quarter of 10 parts. So rubi ushr. So that quarter is 2.5%. 2.5, 2.5, 5, 2.5, 7.5, 2.5, 10.
Barakallahu feek. Next question, bouncing back to Facebook, comes from Sister Maryam Jamila, who asks, in America, many Muslims save up in a college fund for their kids' future education. I would think zakat would be due on that too. Is that the case?
Yes, zakat would be due on that, because that's a cash investment. You're taking cash and you're investing it in a fund, or depositing it in a fund. And so that is liquefiable wealth, and zakat would be due on that.
Barakallahu feek. Next question from Instagram, from Ahmed Zaid. To clarify, can zakat go to one's sisters? Could you repeat the criterion for eligibility?
One's immediate dependents, one's children, one's parents, blood dependents. You spend on them freely. It's not called because zakat, they're spending. Zakat is from what's left over. And so you don't give those dependents zakat. You spend on them freely. And then what's left over is from what's beyond your circle of blood dependents.
Barakallahu feek. Also from Instagram, Omar74 is asking if you could repeat the ruling on zakat for those in debt.
So those in debt, those who are in legitimate debt and not debt as a result of irresponsible and reckless actions. So for example, a gambling debt or debt due to excessive spending on things you don't need, consumer spending. But those who are in legitimate debt that was forced on them by their circumstances, and if they were not to meet that debt, they would either be in personal danger or their financial situation would become extremely tenuous. So those are the people in debt who can receive zakat.
Barakallahu feek. Sister Miriam Jamila from Facebook had an important follow-up to her question on the college fund. Zakat would be due every year on it, or when you take it out after a number of years and then liquefy it?
It would be due every year. So it would be like money in the bank. And so after the year passes and that money is above the limit, then zakat is due on it.
Barakallahu feek. We also have Brother Jackson Duli from Facebook who's asking, Assalamu alaikum, first of all, Jazakallahu khair. To repeat, is zakat due on 401k?
A 401k is a cash investment, so zakat is due on the principal and the increase. So the value of the principal and any profit you might have made on that during the year, 2.5% is due on that.
Barakallahu feek. Also, Bo Adam from Facebook asks, does a debt obligation such as a home purchase plan installment have bearing on one's quote-unquote wealth calculation?
In the Shafi'i school, the debt is irrelevant. It's not considered. Other schools vary in that ruling, so you should consult Hanafi, Maliki, or Hanbali scholars in that regard. But in the Shafi'i school, the debt would be irrelevant. The zakat is due on that particular debt also. Or the zakat is due on that investment regardless of the debt that's involved in it. I say that would be a little clearer.
Barakallahu feek. Also from Facebook, Yi Bashir asks, do teenagers pay zakat who have savings, and does it have to be a year old?
Absolutely. On both accounts. The teenagers who are mentally alert, they're pubescent, they're adults, shar'an, and if they're mentally capable of managing their affairs to that degree, zakat is due on their wealth after the lunar year has passed over the wealth or the savings, and it's above the limit that we repeatedly referred to. So yes and yes. Yes, teenagers do have to pay zakat on the wealth that they might own through their working. Teenagers work through what they might have inherited. So whatever they possess, and it's due after the lunar year passes over it, and it remains above the limit. And they're Muslim.
Barakallahu feek. We're going to go back to Instagram from Brother Omar74 in the UK, who asked, in the UK, we pay very high taxation on our income. I think somewhere of 50%, to the extent that it impacts significantly on our disposable income and financial commitments and responsibilities. Does this count towards zakat? And if not, why not, given that the UK is a welfare state and taxes are used to provide free health care, housing, and education to all? Jazakallahu khair.
First of all, the United States is not a welfare state. We probably pay more with federal income tax.
I think the UK, from the United Kingdom.
I know, I'm just saying that the United States is not a welfare state. And we probably pay just as much in taxes when you add up the gas tax and the airport tax and the rental car tax and the state federal income tax and the state income tax, etc., you probably pay just as much in taxes. So zakat is still due on the balance of your wealth. So it's not, zakat is not on income, it's on wealth that you possess after the passing of the lunar year over that wealth that's above the limit. So the fact that you pay all of that taxes means there's less money available to you that will be zakatable, if we can use that word. So in other words, if you weren't paying that 50% of taxes, now there's double the amount of wealth you potentially would have to pay zakat for. So let's say that 50% you're paying to the government, you're living off the 50 the government is not currently taking. The government's no longer taking it, so that's going in the bank, and so that's now zakatable income. And so the reason you don't pay zakat on what is gone through taxes is because it's not in the bank. And because it's not in the bank or under your pillow or inside of your mattress or in your safe, after the end of the year passes over your wealth that's above the limit, there's less wealth that's above the limit. I hope that's clear.
Barakallahu feek. That was very appreciated. Back on Facebook, we have Suad, who asked to clarify about calculating, how do you calculate zakat due on jewelry?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I should have mentioned that. So zakat is only due on gold or silver jewelry. Those are zakatable categories. You mentioned gold, silver, and cash and cash investments. So in the Shafi school, zakat is due on the amount of jewelry that would be declared to be excessive. And so if a woman had so much jewelry that it would be deemed to be excessive and extravagant, then zakat would be due on that part that was excessive and extravagant. But if it's what's normal for a person of that particular society and within realistic limits, then there's no zakat due on jewelry, gold or silver jewelry.
Barakallahu feek. Jackson Dooley actually had a follow-up to his question, earlier question about 401k. And he mentions we don't have access to the 401k, though. And does that have any bearing?
Well, you would have access, but you would have to pay a penalty. And so if you subtract the penalty from what you could liquefy, then the cat would be on due on the balance if it's above the limit. Wallahu a'lam. Allah knows best.
Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feek. Okay, Imam Zaid, I think if you have any concluding remarks, I think that's sufficient for questions.
Alhamdulillah, we thank everyone for your patience and for very, very excellent questions that I think all of the questions helped to fill out the initial presentation and to fill in some of the gaps. So may Allah Ta'ala bless all of you. And we encourage you on those issues where I mentioned consulting your local scholars. I think please follow up with your local scholars on those particular issues. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.